AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Celtic 2, Rangers 1, the full-time score. It may not be mathematically confirmed, but the celebrations inside Celtic Park tell you that the Scottish Premiership trophy will be heading here.
John Lindstrom, unbelievable. How quick can you fly somebody to Turkey? I'll fly him there myself, I'll be the pilot. He's through his players, his team, his manager, our fans, all under that bus. You should never ever wear a Rangers shirt again.
That's four games this season. We've won three and only drawn one at Ibrox. There's a massive step up for Rangers to catch us.
Yet again, the big players at Rangers have let us down. Serial losers and bottle merchants. And that's not a great Celtic team we were playing against.
Yes, good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on the weekend that pretty much wrapped up the Premiership title for Celtic. A 2-1 win against Rangers means it's 6 points with two games to go after another incident-packed derby. Elsewhere, Kilmarnock wrapped up fourth place. Hibs woes continue with a heavy home defeat to Aberdeen, and Ross County and St Johnstone battle to avoid the playoffs. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me, you have Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna.
Well, I'm sorry you two, but nobody's bothered about Motherwell scoring five, or Aberdeen hitting four, or Hearts netting three are important wins for Killie and Livy. There's only one talking point this weekend. It revolved, of course, around Celtic Park on Saturday lunchtime. It is all we will talk about for the next 2 hours. Yes, folks, Hugh Keevan's got an Old Firm score prediction correct.
Wow, I never even knew that.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he tried to change it in-game a few times, but he did say 2-1 before things kicked off, so we'll leave that there. We don't like to praise him too much, Andy. It's been quite the season, and I mean, is that us? We're looking back on a title race that's done?
That's it. Celtic have certainly got one hand and four fingers on the trophy. For me, they only need a point in the remaining two games. I thought the game we watched at the weekend was reflected the other three that I've seen this season, that Celtic have just got that little bit more quality than Rangers. They made that count on Saturday, and I thought Rangers were lucky it was only at two.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. Andy Halliday says it's over. I don't think Roger Hanna disagrees. I don't know if many of you will, or any of you will, so get it all off your chest. Celtic fans, how does it feel to be champions in a couple of days, confirmed? Or, you know, you've already got it written off in your head. How does that success feel? What do you look back on the game specifically? The good bits, the bad bits. There was talking points, controversies, as always. Rangers fans, is it another summer licking your wounds, hoping for a rebuild, looking at where it went wrong? How do you feel? 0141 951 1025. Every Monday night, it feels like, on this show, is a big one with plenty to reflect on, but surely few bigger than the weekend that, by everybody's calculations, the title race ended. Give us a call right now, please. 0141 951 1025. Whet the appetite for us. Result of the weekend, Roger.
I think it has to be Celtic. If you're going to win a title, winning it at home to your closest rivals is the way to do it. I heard one of the callers there, you know, from the phone in on Saturday, saying that it's not a vintage Celtic team. That's maybe the case, but they've shown they're the best team in the Premiership this season. The deserved champions. I'll have to correct Andrew McLean. So arithmetically, will be concluded this week. Either tomorrow if Rangers drop points, or on Wednesday night. And given they've lost in the Viaplay Cup and the Premiership at Rugby Park, there'll be an irony if Celtic clinch a league title at Rugby Park.
Well, I was desperate to go for Motherwell for my result, but you've just mentioned the stadium that they play at. I've got to go Kilmarnock. That result at the weekend, St Mirren, a very, very difficult venue to go to for any team this season. But Derek McInnes' record against St Mirren over the years has been nothing short of outstanding, and he's took his team there and got the job done again. Fourth place secured. And listen, what a fantastic job they've done this season. The last 10 games, the form table, they're second in the form table. They've got one more point than Rangers, so it shows that run they've put together to secure that fourth place.
Goal of the weekend goes to...
Well, I've discussed this with Andy Halliday beforehand. I'm astonished he's not going for my goal. He loves a team goal. He could have picked any of Aberdeen's four goals at Easter Road yesterday. The one I'm going for is Bojan Miovski's 26th of the season. A lovely team move. What was the goal you said last week, Gordon? I went to come down off the underside of the bar, and you said there's always something nice about a finish Sam off Nicholson. The underside of the bar. Sam Nicholson at Fir Park. I think there's always something nice about a step over. That wee step over.
Wee dummy.
Don't mind
wee
that.
Wee dummy from Leighton Clarkson. Lovely reverse finish by Miovski.
Well, I don't know your surprise, because I have went for a team goal. Do you know, you focused on the finish for Blair Spittle and you've missed out the build-up beforehand. Theo Baird doing his job, holding the play up, popping it off to Blair Spittle, makes a lovely spin down the channel, gets played into him. We step over, body feint, sets to Blair Spittle, runs across his body towards his weak foot. His right foot, opens up his body, far top corner. So not just the finish, there was also a lovely bit about that as well.
What's good not goal. To like? He's painted the picture.
I can't take your bottom half seriously here, Gordon. You might need to stand up.
You're going to need to elaborate because I've got shorts on. You've got shorts on as well.
But you've got a long sleeve polo shirt on.
You're not supposed to tell anybody that. This is supposed to be part of the illusion of the desk. Look,
I'll have you standing up by the end of this show.
Business on top, leisure on bottom, right? That's just the way it works. Not everybody's watching the live stream anyway. Howler of the weekend. Let's get serious. Forget my shorts.
Howler of the weekend. Poor Ross Laidlaw. I'm not sure what he was doing for the first Motherwell goal. I'm not sure what he was doing for the second Motherwell goal. But he won't look back in it with any great credit, I don't think. And a deserved win for Motherwell, but I'm afraid the Ross County keeper has had better days.
Well, listen, you need to have thick skin to play for Rangers and Celtic, especially after the weekend that Rangers have had, and especially after the performance that John Lundstrom's had. He's got to be my howler of the weekend. I'm sure he's had sleepless nights since Saturday night, because it was obviously a poor individual performance for himself, compounded by not only an own goal, but then getting sent off just before half time, as soon as Rangers get their sail back into the game with a goal from Dessers. It was a no-brainer for my howler of the weekend.
Yeah, I wonder if John Lundstrom will feature on the phone-in tonight. I think he might. And to finish off on a high, top man, top performer.
Well, friend of the show, teammate of Andy Halliday, 78th appearance for Motherwell and a first goal. Listen, he's got one brother going to the Euros with Scotland. He's got one brother winning a league title with Falkirk. But all the bragging rights this weekend in the McGinn household, a first goal and player of the weekend, Paul McGinn.
It's hard to compete with that, but I'm going to, you know how I feel when you see young players do well in the Scottish game. So I've got to go for Fletcher Boyd for Aberdeen. It was only last week he'd won the league title with the under-18s. He's played in a Youth Cup final recently. And he comes on to make his Aberdeen debut, and he tops that off with a fourth goal.
Born in 2008.
Scary.
Disgusting. Anyway,
I was convinced it was a double barrel name as well until yesterday.
So did I.
Two great Scotland strikers together.
Fletcher and Boyd. There we are. I can see it. 01419511025. That's the number you need. This is the time and place to get everything off your chest every Monday night, never mind at the end of a season. So how do you look back on the weekend? Game specific stuff, what do you want to talk through over the 90 minutes at Celtic Park? And then as an overview, what does that mean for the season as a whole? Do pick up that phone if you can, or tweet us at Clyde SSB. Matt is going to kick things off tonight. How does it feel as a Rangers fan this weekend, Matt?
Oh, devastated. When you've got a son and a cell of support that keeps phoning you 48 times going, yee-haw, I can't take much more.
Get the phone turned off, Matt. It's not worth it.
I know. I just wanted to talk to the panel about the total underachievers at Ibrox over the last 12 years. This squad is the same squad as the last two managers sacked. Rangers have got the highest wage bill in the Premier League, yet they can't achieve much. The team on Saturday as well as the subs, there was no talent on the bench that could save us. Brunstrom, he's away on holiday. Olsen, Tavernier even, and I'm telling you another one, unless the board really get this behind Clement, he's on a sticky wicket and all. You can see the chopping and changing, and that boy's Stirling. many positions. Only position he's no played, I think, is goalkeeper.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, we're going to hear all shades of criticism, I'm sure. Andy, what, what's the overview from a Rangers perspective as far as you're concerned?
Well, I didn't go into the game with much confidence to begin with, to be honest with you, because like I touched on in last week's show, from the small sample size in the previous Old Firm games we've watched this season, one under Michael Bielander, the two under Philippe Clement, and fundamentally, I think at their strongest, I still think Celtic have more quality in their team. But I think Rangers have been decimated with injuries for a long period of time. And when you've seen the starting 11, I just don't think they had enough players to hurt Celtic at Celtic Park. That compounded with the fact that Celtic have now got a fit Rio Hatate, a fit Callum McGregor, a fit Cameron Carter-Vickers. But then, again, I just thought the performance as well as the result. I don't think Rangers laid a glove on Celtic in the first half. And obviously, the Fabio Silva chance to make it 1-0 is the real standout opportunity that Rangers had up until Celtic scored their two goals. But it just felt as if Celtic were in complete control for the full game, and they managed to get a lifeline back into the game when Dessers gets his first Old Firm goal, and then that moment a madness for John Lundstrom. And you just never felt at any point that Rangers were going to get back into the game. So I mean, it was of a huge disappointment for Rangers. And you know, Matt talks about the huge wage bill they've got. The only real positive that you can take from that is, you know, a few that are on huge money are out of contract in the summer. And Philippe Clement already touched on it in his press conference after the game, that he does anticipate a big rebuild going on in the summer. But let's be honest, Rangers have to be perfect. They had a big rebuild last summer, but they never got the majority of their signings right. So they need to almost be perfect this summer going into the recruitment.
On a weekend like that, Roger, it will go straight from, you know, that kind of 90 minutes is maybe, it's just one tiny part of it. Okay, Celtic beat 10-man Rangers 2-1 at Celtic Park. Yeah. Nothing wildly surprising about that. So for Matt and other Rangers fans, it goes straight to there's a serial underachievers, you know, wage bill and not delivering, and Philippe Clement better be careful. When you've got a failure like that, it becomes about the bigger picture quite quickly.
Yeah, and listen, this title race through the season, Gordon, we've talked about it every Monday night through the season, the three of us, and there have been times when Celtic fans have come on and complained, you know, that time, remember, they lost at home to Hearts and lost at Kilmarnock, back-to-back games. There was Rangers fans coming on and complaining that 5 points dropped at Dingwall and Dundee that week. But for me, and I mentioned it in the show on Saturday when you came to me after the final whistle, the defining moments of this season have been in the Old Firm games. Celtic have won the league because they've taken 10 points in the Old Firm games and Rangers have taken one. And when Philippe Clement is rebuilding in the summer, the most important characteristic that he needs to look for in prospective Rangers signings are guys with the metal and the mental strength to go toe-to-toe with a Celtic team, because the current Rangers squad, you know, people have spoken this season, in the last few weeks, in the last derbies, of Maeda getting into Tavernier's head. This Celtic team is in the heads of the current Rangers team. And until Philippe Clement changes the current Rangers team into players who are capable of going to Celtic Park and also playing the game at Ibrox against Celtic, then Rangers will continue to struggle.
Yeah, what? Because so much said about the Ross County Dundee games, the numbers are now such that had Rangers beaten both Ross County and Dundee, they would be 1 point behind Celtic. Mm-hmm. Now this is now, look, of course it all contributes, you can slice it whatever way you want, but that is now not the only factor. As no. Like I say, win them both, still trail Celtic by 1 point, such as Celtic's superior derby record.
Well, Ross County Dundee, but remember the game before that was an Old Firm at Ibrox. When you, I always felt going into that game that Rangers had to win it. I really did, and you still look it back at that as a real missed opportunity for Rangers, and almost confused at the way they sort of, listen, we talked about it, they were 2-0 down, they looked well beaten in the first half, but the way they came back and salvaged a point almost felt like a good point gained in the end. But that was a huge missed opportunity for Rangers, and ever since, the form they've been on has been nowhere near good enough.
If you take away the Old Firm, Rangers would be 3 points, Rangers are 3 points better off than Celtic against the other teams, if you know what I mean. It's just Rangers' inability to do anything in this fixture that's costing them. They haven't won a league game against Celtic when it's mattered since August 2021, when Philip Helander scored at Ibrox.
How tough is this one to take then, Matt, given that he got in a fairly good position that maybe people didn't expect earlier in the season?
It's pretty tough, but what really gets in my gander is when every time you play Celtic, to me, I've seen Rangers and Celtic games for years. I see the boys had left their hearts on that park and played, but they don't. They've got this thing about them. They think they're better than they are, and they're not getting really getting dug in. They're talking about Maeda, who's got in Tavernier's seat. Tavernier should just give him a right good dunt right away. First kick of the ball, right dunt. I'm here, as I told you a few weeks ago about Carter Vickers. Celtic players shouldn't be strolling through games in their Old Firm game. These Rangers players need to know what it is to play for Glasgow Rangers and to wear the jersey. You can pull 11 guys at a pub and put a better performance against Celtic. They have all died for you and played 90 minutes of effort. They're just doing too much money. And there's very few players that will stay there. I mean, you're talking about Butland, Sterling, I would keep him. What other players can you name it? You guarantee they shouldn't be shunted out the door.
It's a good question. Thank you to Matt. My apologies if anyone's offended at Matt's other alternative word for backside that he maybe slipped in there and only just kind of realised. Well, see, maybe everybody did, and now I've just drawn attention to it. But I do apologise wholeheartedly. Anyway, the backside was that's what we meant, wasn't it? Yeah, they'll nod and agree, and we just move on. 0141 951 1025. Mark is also a Rangers fan. Mark, how would you sum up how tough this one was to take?
I've still got a migraine. That's how I sum it up. Okay, listen, you can pick holes in Clermont's tactics and various players. You can pick loads of holes why we're still in the team, loads of things. The bigger picture is that these players now are not good enough mentally and physically to take Rangers to the next level, which is not that far away, I don't think. I think we've made, unfortunately, due to stupid errors, we've made Celtic look a lot better. And I don't think either of them are up to a lot of great standards at the moment. But now the board, I have to move my attentions to the board. We have got a good manager, a really good manager, who's already won a trophy. And the board now need to back him with money. He's not had... Ange came into Celtic, he got millions, and he brought in his own team. The Rangers manager's not been given £1.50. Diamandé was signed on loan. They don't pay a penny for him until the summer. Cortez was on loan, and Silva has been a disaster, was on loan. So they now need to back him with millions, because I'll go back to Shankland again. If they had signed Shankland, there'd been much better chance Rangers are champions. You can't guarantee they'd have won the league. But if they had paid £4 million, £5 million quid for Shankland, then they should have done it, because that's cost us dearly. So the board have got to back this manager, or if you're not going to back him, sack him. Because there's no point in going from manager to manager and signing mediocre players. And the other point is the players are just, other than the boy before, talking about Butland and Sterling, which is clear, and to a lesser extent, Dessers. The boy's on 22 goals, I believe, Dessers, and he's not a goal scorer. So as a backup, he's been, to be honest, outstanding. 22 goals, and he's not a goal scorer. And he tries, every game he tries. So they need to let the captain go. Tavernier has been a wonderful player for Rangers. The goals, Goldson, all the boys, Lindstrom, they're all going, Kamar Roof, because they're not going to go to the next level with these players. So the board will have to put up money. And if it's £20-25 million, £30 million season ticket money on players, they're going to have to speculate to accumulate here, or they're just not going to win trophies.
This is the thing, Roger, because we now go forward, everybody knows that Celtic presumably then get all these Champions League riches, bigger Champions League riches than ever before. They already had a financial advantage, and yes, as Celtic found out this year, you have to spend it wisely, or it's not always a guarantee. But this notion that, you know, yeah, would you back Philippe Clement, what does that look like? Because yeah, it maybe hasn't had millions of pounds to spend immediately on players, but, and I know this is a historical thing, they're players at Rangers on a lot of money every week.
And some of the boys discussed this on Saturday, Gordon, and kind of focused on the Celtic end of this. You know, Hugh was saying Celtic are now banking a fortune on top of a fortune, and David Friel was making the point that, you know, Brendan Rodgers will now want to go and put his own stamp on this team over the course of the summer. You know, he sort of inherited Ange Postecoglou's team and just added here and there to it, and people weren't sure it was his recruitment. And this summer it will be his recruitment. The Rangers side of it, and Mark's right, Philippe Clement does need reinforcements, and many of them for various reasons. You know, loan signings will go back. guys out of contract won't be kept on. There will be others who are sold. I mean, you could be looking at Rangers requiring 10 or 12 incoming players this summer. He's right that the manager needs to be bankrolled. The question you would have is, how much money, it's not a case of how much money the Rangers board are willing to give Philip Clement. The will is there. How much money does the Rangers board actually have to give to Philip Clement?
Is it the type of title defeat, to call it that, Mark, Andy, that leaves you wondering where Rangers do go and how they claw it back, or can it be done by simply backing the manager, as Mark says?
Listen, they do have to back the manager, but you're then looking at, well, this is the reason that Neils Coppin got brought to the club a couple of months ago for these transfer windows that are coming up. And I said it at the top of the show, I think he has to be perfect this summer, because listen, we've speculated with Rangers and so many transfer windows, are they going to spend money, are they not? I look back at when Steven Gerrard won the league, they spent a grand total of £500,000 that transfer window, and it was on Junior Bakuna. But last year they've spent, what was it, £12-15 million. But how many of that was spent wisely?
That's what I mean. So this notion of just
how many
backing,
of that are sell on assets, which is why I look at Neils Coppin now. He's been brought in to assure that whenever Rangers make recruitment, is this player trading model that they've badgered on about for the last 5-6 years but never got it right?
A lot of unhappy Rangers fans out there. What about you, happy Celtic fans? Presumably wrapping up the title, I'd imagine that's how you feel. And I need to apologise to Matt. It turns out Matt said hearts. He was talking about hearts. They should have their hearts. I thought he said something entirely different. So I'm now apologising for the apology, and my head's already spinning. So let's breathe, and we'll take more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. 0141 951 1025 is the number that you need. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. He says the victory was a significant step, but is stressing they still have work to do to cross that finishing line.
I heard somebody saying about Brendan Rodgers going through the motions earlier on in the season. I get to work between 7:30 and 8:00 every day of my life. I leave the training ground between 6:30 and 7:00 at night. And then when I get home, I have my dinner and I'll probably flip on the computer and look at more football. Now, if that's going through the motions, I want to know what every other manager's doing. Because what is every other manager doing if I'm going through the motions? From a personal level, I've been treated like a novice since I've come back here, like it's my first job. However, my principal objective is to make sure that Celtic win. Part of that is a part of the criticism, and I understand that. But it's the mentality of the team which is most important to me. And that mentality you can see from where we were with injuries, how we've progressed, how we stayed unified, how we stayed together, and then how we then get to this point where we're nearly crossing the finish line. And we don't just want to cross it, we want to sprint over it. We've got two games to go, plus a final, and that is our mentality.
He did not miss his moment.
Listen, it's good. I'm told he likes to be in the car to listen to Beat the Pundit at 7. So he's always in between 6:30 and 7. Nice drive home, gets his dinner, flips open the laptop, watches a wee bit of the YouTube footage of Super Scoreboard, and then watches a bit more football. But listen, Brendan, from the moment He walked back into Celtic Park, has found the place different to the way he experienced it first time round. Winning the title has been harder. Remember the invincible season? This wasn't an invincible season. What did you call it on Saturday? A durable season? He's fought against those who didn't want him back in the door. He's fought against the critics, some of whom he mentioned there. And he's fought against a Rangers side, whatever you think of it, has pushed Celtic harder than anyone pushed Celtic during Brendan's first time. So he has clearly been taking all of this on his shoulders and waiting for his moment. And when you beat Rangers 2-1 at Celtic Park to clinch the title, that is your moment. So he was certainly justified in saying the things he said on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, you can see he's obviously, I think he's kept some of the interviews in the past in the bank. He's obviously not been too pleased with some of the criticism he's received. But you know, I said that when it came to John Lundstram, you need to have thick skin to be part of the two football clubs. I think some of the criticism that has been labelled towards his team has been justified, but they've got through it. They've got key players back, like we says, and they've been on a fantastic run over the last few weeks.
Sean is in Bonnybridge. How's it going, Sean?
Not too bad, mate. How's it going?
All good. What's the overriding kind of feeling after that one then, if it's pretty much over like most people think it is?
Oh, it's 100% over, mate. League's done, dusted. Brendan Rodgers came in from the start, took a lot of criticism, but he's got there in the end.
What was key to that?
Well, from the start, he took a lot of hate. But turning that around like he did, bringing in the players that he did.
Were you one of them, Sean? Were you one of the critics at first?
I was indeed, yes. But at the end of the day, he made it a bit interesting, dropping the points. I thought he'd done that for a bit of fun.
That's been the key words of the last couple of weeks. It's a deliberate ploy to spice it up a bit. So, but you,
100%.
You're one fully back round now, though.
Aye, 100%.
What was it? Was there one moment, Sean, when he won you back?
3-0 at Ibrox. So I thought we could have won it, but to get there in the end, 100%.
How does this one feel then, Sean? Is it, you know, you've seen it all then in the last few seasons in terms of Celtic have absolutely romped them. Because this one was tighter, because people, you know, in the Celtic fan base, as you admit, and outside, wrote Celtic off. Does that make this one sweeter? How does this one feel?
Oh, it feels completely different, mate. Because it's went right to the wire, as you say. It feels mega.
Sean says it's 100% over. What's the mindset, I guess, for both? It's easy for us to say.
Oh, but I think all groups of players know for both sides.
Yeah.
Listen, Celtic won't let complacency get in the way. They know that they're going to a stadium that's been a difficult venue for them this season. But no, listen, I think they all know it's over now.
I mean, I can't ask you, Roger, is it over? It feels too obvious a question, but you know what I mean? Just because it's obviously not, arithmetically, as you point out.
Well, listen, I was at Tannadice for Super Scoreboard a few weeks ago when they went 6 points clear with two games to play and had a superior goal difference, and they celebrated as if they'd won the league. Celtic supporters on Saturday celebrated as if they'd won the league.
Astronomical,
yeah,
wasn't
but
it?
There's no way.
No, I mean, I get that. I'm not disagreeing.
Absolutely no. If Rangers turn this round and win this league, never mind you and Andy Halliday.
Just need Hugh to say there's no way.
We'll get Hugh Keevans in here wearing shorts. That's how unlikely it is.
I'm not sure about that, I have to say. What about Mark, who's also on the line? Thanks to Sean. How does this one feel, Mark? What's on your mind tonight?
First time caller, it's nice to be on here, guys.
Pleasure.
I've got a couple of points here. First of all, you made a point earlier about team goals. That O'Reilly goal against Rangers, there was 8 Celtic players that touched that ball before they scored without Rangers intercepting it. That was one team goal. My point is,
see, just on that, Mark, so I think that's a really good point before you even get to your point. So just bring the guys in on it. Celtic have had a couple of decent performers this season for sure. Is there something fitting that the real, one of the real key goals on the day is the guy that absolutely swept up at the Player of the Year awards last night, was a nominee for the league's Player of the Year as well. He, if you know, if this is Celtic's title, a lot of that must go down to Matt O'Reilly's performance.
He's been their standout player this season. I thought he was the runaway front runner up until probably January, I would say, for Player of the Year, and then had a sort of a slow period where Lauren Shankland had an absolute wonderful 2-3 month period. But listen, I think everyone's always felt that when Celtic are at their best, they're a really, really good football team. But when they're not being it's been quite a lot of the same stuff being labelled at them, whether it's been slow, ponderous, not a lot of intensity in their game. Mark quite rightly touches on the first goal is everything that Celtic are good at. You know, you talk about the system that Brendan Rodgers deployed. It's been either with that solo 10 or the pivot with 2 8s. But one thing is, when Celtic are good, they've got rotations all over the pitch. They've got runners in behind. There's people running out of position. That's what happens for the first goal. There's no real structure, but there's rotations within it where it makes Rangers players, you know, very, very difficult to stay with their man and almost man-marking that middle of the pitch. And it all starts for that sort of Callum McGregor busting into the channel. And I think it's then O'Reilly that obviously runs off the back of a couple of players out wide. So it was a fantastic goal.
That's funny because Hugh Keevans was saying at the weekend he thought the pivot with the 2 8s was the bit that was causing the causing the trouble in that midfield. He's been outstanding, Roger, hasn't he?
He's been exceptional. He's a very, very talented young player. He's still only 23 years of age. We touched.
I was surprised to see him win Celtic's Young Player of the Year last night. I forgot that was an option.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about the money Celtic have in the bank, this famous 70 million. The money they'll get for the Champions League. Celtic might get 25 or 30 million pounds for this lad. You know, Atletico Madrid have already had a tickle at him in January. There's been talk of Girona, Leeds United, when they were in the Premier League, had a look at him. People will be looking at Matt O'Reilly. And, you know, I'm not. We're never ones in Scotland for chasing good players out the country. But the day will come when he will go and Celtic will get a lot of money for him.
Yeah, what do you think, Mark? Is it all about now? I can't believe we're already kind of projecting, but if it's over and everyone says it is it about how Celtic strengthen again?
I think so. I think this is the weakest squad that's won the title for me that I've seen win the title. And everybody's talking about this Rangers rebuild and all that. I think Matt O'Reilly is going to go for maybe 30 million this season. I think that we've seen him, he's going away at the end of the season. But if Rodgers is backed and the recruitment's right, I mean, that's, what, £60 million Champions League plus maybe 30 O'Reilly plus some money in the bank. We should be throwing money for Europe next season and going, not targeting beating Rangers in the league. We should be targeting beating teams in Europe. And if we recruit right, I think we can do it.
I've heard this many summers though, so it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. But thanks to Mark for sharing his thoughts there. What about Jimmy then? Back to the blue perspective. Jimmy, how does it feel after the weekend?
I just think it's deja vu for us. I mean, the league's over. The league was over with the three games between ourselves and Motherwell, Ross County and Dundee. I mean, that was 8 points that we dropped. I think I've said this before. I mean, the famous Graeme Souness interview is that he said Rangers fans don't like to say this, but we don't need to beat Celtic to win the league. I heard Rodgers saying there that it was an incapability to beat Celtic this season. We didn't need to beat Celtic this season. We beat ourselves. Ross County, Dundee and Motherwell was dropped. We should have gone into the game on Saturday. Even losing the game, we'd still be 2 points ahead. So it's the inability for Rangers to beat other teams that's caused this. We need a massive clear-out next season. We need to get rid of 10 players next season. Outlist the load players that were brought in. And that includes the likes of Tavernier, Golson, Barisic, Lundstrom, players like that Ross Jack, players like that. They're not any good. McCausland, I don't think people see McCausland. He's absolute rubbish. And unfortunately, there's a lot of rumours going about that Ipswich or Leicester might for Jack Butland. And that's scary stuff. Do we have the money, Gordon, to rebuild, a massive rebuild next season? I'll agree with a couple of Rangers callers there. And this is probably one of the worst Celtic teams I've seen in a long time. And we couldn't beat that. They're talking there about the Celtic rate. Matt O'Reilly, 30 million. 30 million, what smarties? There's no more £30 million. No way.
I think Atletico Madrid offered a fair bit in the summer, though, didn't they? In the winter, sorry, maybe not as much as 30.
Sorry.
I think Atletico Madrid showed their intentions of spending fairly big money on them in the January window. Let's not split hairs on how much Matt O'Reilly's worth. I don't think that's the key sort of argument to get into this close to the travel news, but To revisit what Jimmy said, like we said about the numbers, that's a fact, you know, in terms of had Rangers beaten Ross County and Dundee, they would still be 1 point behind. Fine, Jimmy's thrown the Motherwell game into the mix. and he says you don't need to beat Celtic. You can't have 1 point out the head-to-heads and win a title, can you?
Gordon, I'll go back. I'm older than you two, gentlemen.
Say that again.
I go back to the 1990s. Tommy Burns, the late great Tommy Burns, assembled a superb Celtic side. Di Canio, Van Hooijdonk, Andy Tom, George Cadet, sensational Celtic team. They only lost one league game all season, and they didn't win the league because they couldn't beat Rangers. They lost to Rangers once, and they drew with Rangers three times. Rangers won the league. And this season, it's just a truism. If this Rangers team continues to be unable to beat Celtic, they won't win the league. Celtic have taken 10 points from the derbies. Rangers have taken one. That's the difference in the title. And until Rangers can handle Celtic in league games, cup ties, one-off ties, a different thing as we've seen. Until Rangers can at least get half the points from Celtic in the derbies, they're not going to win league titles.
Because Jimmy says you don't need to beat them, Andy, but fine then really stating the obvious now, draw those games then you're sharing the points. It's not like you're missing out and your rival gets them. Somebody can crunch the numbers for me.
Roger did.
Rangers are 3 points better off.
No, I mean like in history, yeah. What's the worst head-to-head record that a title-winning team has? Yeah. It won't be 1 point. It can't be as low as that, surely. But I said at the weekend, you have to go back 20 years to find a season in which Celtic had a better head-to-head, derby head-to-head than this season. They got 10 points this season. They get 12 in the 03-04 season.
Yeah, and I think, I think all the stats and most opinions will probably rebuke Jimmy's comment, because, I mean, Roger just gave us a perfectly good one, that outside the Old Firm head-to-head games, Rangers have accumulated more points than Celtic, so you do have to beat them. And see, the fact of the matter is, if you can't beat your rivals over four games, you probably don't deserve to win the league, and you probably won't win the league in the end up as well. So listen, it all stems down to what's going to be a massive summer for Rangers. And it's funny, because the previous caller, who was a Celtic fan, Mark, was talking about flinging money at players to improve further, but then talked about Matt O'Reilly, who Celtic spent £1.5 million for,
League
who
could then sell
for £30 million. So the key is always to get your recruitment right.
Thank you very much to Jimmy. We'll have to leave it there. What about the game specifically, the weekend? We've not really done much of that. Any thoughts on John Lundstrom? Performance, own goal, red card. There was various talking points as always. So if you want to go down that route, we're here for you, whilst I tell you about this.
Clyde One. £1 million make me a winner. Win your share of £1 million. Make me
a winner. A double rollover on Make Me a Winner. The last call went to Five Rings, and the person we called on Friday hung up without saying a word. So time to get the game faces on and make sure you don't pass up the opportunity, because you could be the winner of £120,000 when we make the next call. Only if you're in the draw, so text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate as well. It's over 18s only. Entries since Scott from Falkirk won on Thursday have rolled over, and all the rules for this network competition are online. If you get the call after 3 p.m. tomorrow, answer within five rings, say make me a winner straight away to win £120,000.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna both here, both waiting for you to get in touch, looking back on the weekend's game specifically, if you so wish, although most people are looking at the bigger picture and what it means for both sides, which is absolutely fine as well. Joe's a Celtic fan. What's on your mind tonight, Joe?
Good evening, Gordon, Andy and Roger. How are we doing?
Hey, Joe.
Thank you. Good.
Good evening, guys. I just wanted to come on tonight, kind of as I did last year about the same time, just to congratulate Celtic on winning another title. I think that's, was that 12 titles in 13 years, is it? Something like that. So it's going on to be another period of Celtic dominance. I just wanted to congratulate Brendan Rodgers as well on a personal level, because like most Celtic fans, I had my questions when he was coming back, but he's proved his right at the end of the season. I was at the game on Saturday, and as you know, the lights were out on Friday night, and you know when you just get that feeling in your stomach when you're thinking green sky at night, I can only mean one thing tomorrow. And I was really, really, really confident of Celtic winning. We made it just look a bit We could have went and won 3 or 4 nil. I honestly think we could have done that. My main point that I wanted to make though was about one player in the game that I couldn't take my eyes off, and it was Dyson Maeda. And with Dyson Maeda, I'm now thinking about all the recent Old Firm games, how crucial he has been to us. The way that he was pressing all the players, I remember it was kind of late in the second half, and Greg Taylor gave the ball away in a dangerous position, and it was McCausland that picked it up, and Dyson Maeda sprinted from almost from the middle of the pitch right out to the line and just took the ball right off McCausland. And my question was, do you think that Dyson Maeda is potentially one of the most crucial players that's ever played in a derby for either team?
That's a big ask.
It's an interesting word he uses, though. He didn't say best, he said crucial. So
he's done well for Celtic in the derby. Oddly enough, I don't think this has been Dyson Maeda's greatest season for Celtic, but he does seem to come to life in this fixture. He does give James Tavernier and Rangers a difficult time. That goal after 21 seconds at Ibrox will never be forgotten, just because of the early age. It was almost a record-breaking goal. And it's been a strange season. It's a strange season for Maeda and a lot of the Celtic players, in so much as a lot of them have had sort of stop-start seasons. You think of Callum McGregor's injury, Reo Hatate's injury, Maeda's own injury, you know, in that incident when he got the red card in Madrid. Carter Vickers has been in and out of the team as well. And so it hasn't been a season of, you know, great continuity for a lot of Celtic's key performers. But crucially, they've all come back together for the run-in, and they've all played their part in the run-in, none more so than Dyson Maeda, as Joe said.
I thought he played well, Dyson Maeda. I thought he was really good at Ibrox last month. I don't think he was quite as effective in possession, but out of possession, you know, Joe touched on his willingness to get the ball back for Celtic. He's always that sort of first sort of trigger to go and press and win the ball back, and he's always been very, very good at it. He obviously plays his part in the second goal, and if he timed his run slightly better on a couple of occasions, he could have found himself a couple of goals as well. But I can't remember who the earlier caller was. I think Roger mentioned as well, Rangers needing the certain character types that can handle the big occasions and play well in the big occasions. I think that's what Dyson Maeda has been to Celtic, because you know, any Old Firm game, any cup final, any Champions League game, any game in Europe at all, you know Dyson Maeda's first name in the team sheet.
And a great sense of humour. I think he told the Celtic Player of the Year dinner at the weekend that he had voted for Matt O'Reilly as his Players Player of the Year because he's handsome.
Each to their own. Tough to argue too much, it has to be said. Joe, how does this title win, if it turns out to be that way that everybody expects it to, how does this one feel? How do you sum this one up?
It's been such an up and down season. Being a Celtic fan, there's been times where you had almost apathy towards the team. And like people always mentioned, booing Santa in winter, but then come the good months, we started playing the football that we needed to at the right time. And I think that's the difference to me, because form is temporary, right? Rangers did, when Philip Clement came in, they did go on a good run, and they did have good form. There's no denying that, but I do believe that form is temporary and class is permanent.
We've had Celtic supporters on, Joe, apologising to Brendan Rodgers. Is it time that, on behalf of the Celtic support, you apologise to Santa?
Yeah, I think it is. I would just like to put on record that, as a Celtic fan, as a collective, we would just like to apologise to Santa.
Good, you're back off the naughty list. Well done.
That's the message everyone needed from tonight. Andy, I suppose it would be obviously very beneficial, and we've seen that, to have all those influential players come back fit, mm-hmm. for this time. You know, Celtic had to cope without them, fine, and it was difficult, but you look at the difference at the weekend on who Celtic could choose from versus who Rangers could choose from. Yeah. Even if they are, by the way, before anyone gets upset, both at full strength, I'm not saying Celtic mm-hmm. aren't still the best team, but as you said, it was so tough to make a case for Rangers going into that game.
I think you kind of touched on it there. I think both teams at full strength, based on what we've seen this season, I would have still made Celtic favourites going into the weekend, but when you've seen what was available to Rangers, and you know, Philip Clement coming under a lot of criticism for the starting 11 they put out, I don't know how much options he had, to be honest with you, because you look at the likes of, you know, if they were fit, who would play? I think Abdullah Sima would play. I think Matondo would play based on the last Old Firm game. I think Yilmaz would play. I think Goulson would play. If Goulson didn't play, it would certainly be Balogun that played. So I think they were up against it for the get go. I feel as if for a large period of time, Joe was talking about Rangers form. I feel as if, you know, Philippe Clement was almost getting the best of what he had available to him. Half of that wasn't available to him at the weekend.
So you think Rangers punched above their weight a bit in that period, which raised everybody's hope?
I think they went on, 11 wins in a row. So in terms of punching above their weight, they clawed back a 7-point deficit for Celtic and went ahead. At that point, I think they were punching above their weight, because I don't think anyone would have probably said that at that point in time they could have gone and won the league. We had callers on the show talking about Rangers winning a treble. I mean, if they won a treble, to say they were punching above the weight would be an understatement.
You've been in loads and loads of clubs, Andy. This injury thing, is this just bad luck for Rangers, or is there more to it?
It's too good a question for right now, because I'm already a minute late for Beat the Pundit. And if you've seen the injury list for tomorrow for Rangers, it's 11 players. Philippe Clement saying that's the main thing that's going to change in the summer.
Gordon Dale's on the bench.
So we'll shudder at the thought. So we'll get back to that. It is a good point, thanks to Joe, but let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Your chance to come on here, show off your superior football knowledge and win a signed ball. The lines do close at 7, so you'll have to be quick. It's 0141 951 1025, and your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Usually on a Monday, we reflect on the weekend's biggest talking points. We've made it the first hour of the show. There was an Old Firm game. There was a sending off. We've not even discussed it. There was a penalty given. We've not even discussed it, because everybody is all over the big picture, which is understandable, but whatever it is you want to bring up tonight, now is a good time to do it. 0141 951 1025, and we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Well, these two are looking to end the season invincible, I believe. I mean, we still don't know if we're holding the defeat from Christopher in Ayrshire on your record or not.
Even Christopher from Ayrshire's not claiming victory.
I'm not sure about that. Anyway, let's find out who will play tonight on the contestant side of things. Oh, it's a double team. Sean Paul is on. Sean and Paul are on. How's it going?
Not bad. How are yours?
Not bad. Who's going to be the spokesman?
Sean. Paul's the one with the brain.
So Paul's like providing the assists. Sean's just going to tap them in from 2 yards out. I don't mind that. That sounds like a good arrangement. And you are both.
I mean, I know we are big, but if Sean Paul's phoning in to take us on,
and you're both happy with the weekend's action, there's not split loyalties there.
Couldn't be any more delighted
with it. There we go. That tells you what team Sean and Paul support. Anyway, heads, it will be Andy Halliday and tails, Roger Hanna. And it is heads, it's Andy. You had a good weekend as well, have you? You had as good a weekend as those two, Andy.
1-5-1.
You're right. Just double checking if anything else got you down at the weekend. That was all. Right, let's get ready. Let's give Andy some greatest hits radio to listen to. He won't hear us, which is the good thing, guys. You've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can, and just pass if you don't know the answer. Okay.
Yep.
Let's go. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts. Now, what was the score in the East Kilbride Stranraer playoff game at the weekend?
Three.
Paolo Bernardo is on loan to Celtic from which club?
Benfica.
Ross County manager Don Cowie won the English Championship with which club?
Morecambe.
What age is Aberdeen scorer from yesterday, Fletcher Boyd?
16.
In what year was Scott Brown made Celtic captain?
2007.
Who's currently top of the bottom six in the Premiership?
Dundee.
Who do Inverness face in the Championship playoff final?
Montrose.
Okay, let's bring Andy Halliday back. Andy, can you hear us?
Got us now. Yes.
So could neither of you hear that?
No, we were listening to Aha.
So the great thing is, Paul would shout the answer, which I could hear quite clearly, but then Sean would repeat it. So we got every answer like two or three times.
Stereo.
Just to avoid. Good. I can tell.
How do you know?
Because I can just tell.
Right, okay. Well, we'll find out, won't we? Who I forgot which one of you is even playing.
Andy.
Right, 30 seconds, you ready?
Yep.
Your time starts now. What was the score in the East Kilbride Stranraer playoff game? Paolo Bernardo is on loan to Celtic from which
Benfica.
Club? Ross County manager Don Cowie won the English Championship Watford. With which club? What age was Aberdeen scorer Fletcher 16. Boyd? In what year was Scott Brown made Celtic captain?
2008.
Who's currently top of the bottom six in the Premiership?
Aberdeen.
Who did Inverness face in the Championship playoff final?
Oh, Hamilton.
In what date did Scotland's first Euro 2024 game take place?
Oh, 16th of June.
Sean, Paul, what's the verdict?
It's not 16th.
That could be a draw, mate.
Let's find out, shall we? The East Kilbride Stranraer playoff was 2-2.
Good game.
You both got well done. You both knew that Paulo Bernardo is on loan from Benfica. Neither of you got Don Cowie.
Cardiff City.
So was.
Won the championship with Cardiff. So we're still level on 2-2. You both got Fletcher Boyd is 16. So it's 3-3. In what year did Scott Brown become Celtic captain? Roger?
If I was guessing, I would say 2009.
Oh, even Roger Hanna can't get it. Must be tough. 2010. Oh. So it's still 3-3. Who is currently top of the bottom six in the Premiership? Unfortunately for you two, Dundee are in the top six. So it's Aberdeen. And then Andy Halliday just stretched his advantage. Montrose lost to Inverness. So it's Hamilton.
A draw, aye.
A 5-3.
Beat me too, Sean and Paul.
You're beginning to sound like a dazzler.
Give him his moment.
I need something, didn't I? I need something after the weekend.
He's had a tough weekend.
We'll play you 2-touch.
2-touch, but you're only allowed one each.
Thanks, guys. Well done. Hard lines, there we go. That's your job.
No.
I have to say, I was getting messages from him on the Old Firm game, suspiciously close to kickoff in Dingwall. I was wondering if he had his phone in his sock. Sky, Roger Hanna.
Sky Go was on for a long time.
Anyway,
did you see David Friel all the way up there for Super Scoreboard?
I never actually. No,
it didn't hold the Steelmen back. The Entertainers still the third highest scorers in the league, I would assume.
Yep,
flying.
Same amount of points as Rangers over the last 10 games.
I mean, as flying as a bottom six team can be. But
well, I'm already thinking we're 3 points off Europe. So I mean. Got a chance over the last two games.
That is only the way it worked. There we go. And some good goals as well in the Dingwall Sun. 01419511025. That is the number that you need. You two stewards inquiring about
no,
something?
No, no, no. I was asking. I'd never heard the answer. What was the Scotland answer? Because I know it's
14th. Friday the 14th.
Yeah.
8 p.m.
The way to remember it, if you're in any doubt, is that by that time we fly out in the 12th. So Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel will have shared a bedroom twice by then.
Right.
That's the way to think about it. Okay. If you're in any doubt.
That is going to be the highlight of the summer. For never mind Scotland, Germany, Switzerland, Hungary, great European superstars. All I want to hear is this room sharing between the Dazzler and the Mushroom in Munich.
I was going to say stick some hidden cameras up to capture it all, but I think it's possibly not wise. Craig is a Rangers fan. Have you calmed down any from the weekend, Craig, as a Rangers fan? Or how do you look back on things now?
Hi, good evening, guys. I was saying to the producer, I've calmed down a wee bit. I've had time to kind of digest stuff and... I think like most Rangers fans, for me it was a kind of weirdest build-up, you know, to a title deciding Old Firm game I can remember because it was so quiet. Obviously not on your show, but just in terms of the full week last week, it was like, it didn't even feel real, if that makes sense. Like there was an Old Firm game come up, it was just like so bizarre. But I've got a couple of points and I've got a quick question for Andy just after that, if that's all right as well, just about something not relating to Sunday. But it's something that I've wanted to ask for a wee while, but... My point is, like, I think it was Roger mentioned earlier, you know, Rangers, it might be Andy, I can't remember now, but saying Rangers have got the highest wage bill in Scotland. I think we need to get away from this stuff about getting guys like Ben Davies, Tom Lawrence, Lundstrom, Keamer Roof. I mean, Keamer Roof was someone that's produced, so maybe not fair to put him in the same bracket. But even guys like Dowell, you know, just seems to be permanently injured and... I'm probably no far off here, but I think between the five of them, they're probably on about $100,000 a week, you know, if you combine the wages. And like Andy was saying earlier, like the guy Koppen that's come in for Germany, I'm excited about what he can do. And just for a wee bit of context, I'm somebody that fully behind Clement. He kind of keeps sacking the manager all the time. And what he's done with that group of players, and I know people say, oh, it's a nice team, this, that, and the other, but what he done with that group of players from, you know, October, November, time winning that first trophy, winning the Europa League group, aye, okay, we fell away and that's what people are going to remember, but he could still end up with two trophies. And for its worth, I do think we will win the cup final, because that would just be the most Rangers thing ever. But as I say, I've got a quick question for Andy after you digest that, if that's all right.
What do you think? Take it away.
Listen, I know what you mean. There are no guarantees when you sign a player. You know, Rangers signed Glenn Kamara for £50,000 and he got to a European final. They signed Calvin Bassey for not much more than that and he was in the same team in a European final. Spending big money either on wages or on fees doesn't really guarantee you anything. As Andy pointed out, you know, Matt O'Reilly wasn't a costly recruit when Celtic got from MK Dons, £1.5 million. You need to recruit smartly rather than expensively. And, you know, whether it's Neil Coppin, how much of an influence Philippe Clement has himself, I'll be fascinated to see. Philippe Clement has done fine since he came in. There should be no questions about Philippe Clement going forward for now. Philippe Clement should get the backing that he requires in the summer, assuming the money's there. And then, when it's Philippe Clement's team next season, you know, he can stand or fall by that. But it doesn't need to be the expensive guys that you've mentioned on the big wages. It's guys that Philippe Clement thinks will improve the team. And as we've said a few times before, Craig, players who will go into Old Firm games without any great fear. I kept thinking on Saturday as I was listening to the game, thinking back to Marvin Bartley's pre-match chat when he was watching the warm-up. Celtic players fizzing it about, on their toes, full of confidence, ready to go in the game. And Rangers players slow, one-paced, and having to be G'd up by the coaching staff. That didn't sound to me like a team that was going to win that Old Firm game. And in the end up, it was a team that didn't win that Old Firm game.
And they understand why the Rangers fans do it, though, because for a time people said, well, Raskin's a great signing, Todd Cantwell's a great signing, and Tom Lawrence is a great signing. It's probably too early to put Diomande in that bracket. I think there have clearly been signs for a lot of people, and he's in a team at the moment that's not doing great, and Oscar Cortez got injured. But a lot of false dawns, it feels like, on the phones.
Yeah, well, listen, I said at the time, Neil Coppin could potentially be the best signing Rangers making in the January transfer window, because they've needed someone in that role, specialising in recruitment in different areas of Europe. Because, you know, one thing I'll say about the names that Craig mentioned that are on the big wages, they all came from the English Championship or the English Premiership on free transfer, so they demand big wages because of what they've came from. Whereas your Diamandis come for the Scandinavian League, your Oscar Cortez is on loan. You see the reports that are linking with Jose Cordoba, who is at Levski Sofia. I don't think they'll be demanding the wages that the five players that Craig mentioned are on. But like, it's going to be such an important window. I've touched on it so many times, and again, it's not about the fees that they're spending. It's about bringing in the right players, the right types. We mentioned Matt O'Reilly. There's more. There's Hitati, who I think was £1.5 million. There was Kyogo that was £2 million. So the players are out there. They've just needed someone in place to go and find the right ones.
What was your question for Andy, Craig?
Aye, so it's a quick one. I just want to get Andy's thoughts. I don't know if he can say too much on it, but obviously trained by Alex Lowry when he was at Hearts for 6 months, I believe, and it's just on Andy's opinion. Do you think Alex Lowry, I know he's had a lot of stuff going on, his mum passing away and stuff like that, but do you think he's got the mentality to be a big player for Rangers next summer?
I'd love to see him be given the opportunity, Craig, to prove it, because what he has got is he's got bags of ability. I think Rangers fans and staff within Rangers know that. That's why they wanted him to go on loan and have a sustained period of games to go and develop and improve, which I think a lot of the younger players at Rangers do, because right now they're not even playing any competitive football. The unfortunate thing for Alex is he went on loan and had a sort of mysterious injury that wasn't really diagnosed at the time. He was playing through it and struggling with it, and it wasn't until he went back to Rangers in January where they found out, I think it was a stress fracture on his back that kept him out for 2 months, which is interesting, because in the next two games, Craig, and I know I've said this a few times and it's almost the sort of easy thing, I would love to see a couple of these boys got opportunities, because the players that you've mentioned that aren't going to be here past the summer, whether it be Kamal Roof, whether it be John Lindstrom, whether it be these players that are going out of contract, Borna Barisic, why not see if the younger players are ready to make that step up when, let's face it, we all know the league's gone, the league's passed, and there is these players waiting through the wings. And instead of trying to recruit within Europe in these places, give these younger boys opportunities to go and see if they can stand up to it.
Thank you, Craig. What about Mike? How do you look back on it, Mike? Where's it gone wrong?
Hi, panel. Thanks for coming.
Hey, Mike.
It's just about Rangers again, Gordon. We've got 18 players injured this season, which is a complete shambles. We have signed players which were injury prone, like John Souter, Kemar Roof, known what their track record's like, and we've still proceeded to sign them and think we can actually change them. John Lundstrom, Connor Goldson, James Tavernier and Borna Barisic, they've presided over title collapse over the last three seasons. I believe we only won the 2021 title because there was no fans in the stadium. And I just think they're serial bottle merchants and they've cost us the league. John Lindstrom, especially, he has regressed at a rate of knots, I would probably say, the last 3-4 weeks, ever since we lost to Motherwell. We've lost the likes of Glenn Kamara, Ryan Kent, Alfredo Morelos, Joe Aribo, and we've replaced them with lesser talent. I think we've got a monumental rebuild. I think the rebuild is going to be even more than what it was under Steven Gerrard, because the players in that squad just now, they're an empty shirt, and the way that attitude the players at the weekend, it was absolutely disgraceful. I'm just wondering what the panel think.
Let's elaborate on that. So what, you didn't like the attitude at the weekend? Who do you think wasn't pulling their weight?
Well, we had Ben Davies, Borna Barisic, James Tavernier, John Lindstrom, culpable for the goals. I mean, John Lindstrom's body positioning, he was completely the wrong way. Put the ball in his own net. I mean, Petty had done it at the other end. The only one seemed to have burst in the gut is like Dejan Sterling and Jack Butland. I just don't think the other players have the mentality in them to actually to win a championship.
I take it no complaints on John Lindstrom's red card?
Oh, absolutely not. No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
Maybe a sign of what that tackle was like. Can you imagine I offered you up this scenario where there is a straight red card shown in the first half of one of these derbies with a title on the line and nobody phones in to complain about it?
And it's one that was originally a yellow card and upgraded by VAR.
It might tell its own story.
Yeah, I think it tells its own story.
No debate to be had.
No, none whatsoever. Mike's making 2 points. The physicality and the mentality of the Rangers players. I asked Andy, and we had to cut it short just before Beat the Pundit. The Rangers injury list, is that bad luck? Or is there something deeper lying there? Is there a problem there?
I've no idea, but it's almost unexplainable to me. Because
Philippe Clement, sorry to interrupt, doesn't think it's bad luck.
No.
Because he keeps banging on about fixing it in the summer. So.
It almost depends what these injuries are. If they're recurring injuries in certain areas in the muscle, mm-hmm. I would think, no, that's not bad luck to me. That's either wrong diagnosis, bad rehab or whatever it may be.
Signing
but
has more
been,
robust players, though.
Signing
could
more
be
robust
option.
Players, absolutely. But obviously, there is some bad luck injuries in there.
Like,
Danny Lowe's is the one that sort of stands out to me off the top of my head. But it's worrying. And it feels like it's been like that for a while, Roger, not just this season. It feels like they are losing certain players for a long period of time. There's been players over the years and. Sometimes the best ability is availability, because you have to be there for your teammates day in, day out, game in, game week in, week out, and Rangers haven't had
long before there were recruitment chiefs at football clubs, when the managers went and got players. I remember Alec Ferguson and Walter Smith, when they looked at a player, one of the first things they had in their checklist was, many games did he miss last season? And how many games did he miss the season before? And if the players didn't hit a certain percentage threshold, they weren't signed with the clubs.
Andy, you gave John Lundstrom your howler mm-hmm. of the weekend at the top of the show. I think I know why. I mean, we're stating the obvious, because there's two, like, there's only a couple of big boxes you can tick about, you score an own goal, you get sent off. He did both of them. The only other one would be like miss a penalty sort mm-hmm. of thing. But was it more than that as well? Mike spoke about his part, along with others, to be fair, in the goals that were conceded.
I think he was, obviously he scores the own goal for the second, he gets sent off, but I think he plays his part in his first goal as well, so I think he's the first one that ends up dropping his runner. I think, is it Matt O'Reilly at the end that ends up running off him again to the box, so he certainly plays his part in that as well. But not only that, it's general play of the full team, to be honest, not just John Lindstrom, but they never had any type of control in the game. It just felt as if, everyone talked about, it was a mad period of 10 minutes, but it looked as if Celtic could have went 1-0 up for the first sort of 30 minutes of the game previous to that anyway. I just don't think Rangers ever had any any sustained period of pressure, and John Lindstrom was obviously a huge part of that, and then talking about his red card, for me, absolutely no debate. You know, I've got a big hating for the word excessive force. I hate it, but I mean, for the distance you're travelling to then slide tackle, when the best case scenario is you're tackling out for a throw-in, it's just madness.
In that area of the pitch, the Celtic right back area,
it's going for a throw-in 10 yards for the Celtic goal line. For me, it was just a crazy decision. And I've seen a lot of people criticise the referee for the initial yellow card. I thought yellow card all day long, because you see the way the ball travels by fizzing out the pitch. You feel as if he's won the ball, although the speed that he goes in. But then when you see the replay, there's no arguments.
The questions of bottle and desire, they come up all the time in football, and they're quite hard to sort of prove, mm-hmm. and they're maybe quite easy to leap to. Having said that, if you look at the way not only John Lundstrom, Fabio Silva and Borna Barisic deal with that Matt O'Reilly goal, was there a desire issue as well? I think most people accept, you said it earlier, Celtic are better than Rangers, mm-hmm. so if they both go full tilt at it, Celtic probably win anyway. That was your sort of take on it. But can you do more within that?
I always think it's a difficult one to judge if you're not. I feel as if you're in a dressing room and you know these people personally, yeah. you're able to judge it better.
Those isolated moments then?
Listen, the reaction's not great. You're talking about I'll also fire in the reaction to John Lundstrom when he scores the own goal. He's almost pointing at someone as if he's trying to blame someone else for it. I'm not too sure what happened there.
I think it might be Willie Collum. I saw people say, because he gets in his way as he's tracking back. Anyway, I don't know.
He gets in his way, but he still then gets back
in terms of who he's pointing at. I think that's who it might have been, but yeah. I'm not sure.
But it's difficult for me to say, and I don't want to label the types of things towards, you know, fellow professionals, but one thing they do have is they have an opportunity to prove it wrong by 2 weeks' time when we've got the Scottish Cup final, which is going to be a big ask for them, especially if they've got the injury list that they have right now.
I think very quickly, actually, I didn't realise how late we were. Mike says the only league we've won was when there was no fans in the stadium. You go back to that time, Roger, if you sit on the show and say Rangers only won that league because there was no fans, you get battered for that. But it's almost like the longer time goes on, I hear more and more Rangers fans looking back on that way.
That's too easy, I think, to say Rangers won that league by the length of Socky Hall Street. They'd won it on the 7th of March. They would have won it whether there had been fans in the stadiums or not. That's far too easy to say. But
something's gone wrong in the time that's followed if it's Rangers fans are now saying that rather than everyone else.
Yeah, again, it's just, listen, it's easy. Listen to the show last week, Gordon. All the Celtic fans were really confident they'd win the game. All the Rangers fans were not confident in the slightest. We had a poll of the sports writers in the Sun for our website. Every one of them tipped Celtic to win. The Rangers players are just human beings. Like everybody else, they didn't think they could win on Saturday. You heard it from Marvin Bartley's comments in the warm-up. From the minute they got to Celtic Park, they didn't feel they could win.
Thank you, Mike. Good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. It's that usual number of 0141 951 1025. We're about to bring in some more callers. I can see some passionate language coming through on these phone lines based on the weekend's results, so we'll get to that. But let me very quickly give you this question. Do you like that? I don't press the buttons, remember. I don't know what's going on. I just look at you two and hope that one of you knows the answers. I mean, I can see, looks like we're back, sort of. Yeah, we're here, good. I'll give you the question. Can you name, and it's thanks to the Crazy Pony, it's a great question this, can you name 10 players who've played in the Scottish top flight and their brothers have over 70 international caps? 10 players who've played in the Scottish top flight and their brothers have over 70 international caps.
Pogba?
Yep, Matthias Pogba played with Partick Thistle. Paul has 91 France caps.
What about Willie McStay?
Yes, Paul has 76 caps.
McGinn won't be that many caps now, will
I? No.
That's a great question. 10 former.
Good, isn't it? So it's 10 Scottish top flight players and their brother have over 70 international caps. You've got Matthias Pogba, Willie McStay. Any more before we move on? I want to take more calls quickly tonight.
I do like that. That might take us a minute,
Andrew. Right, we'll leave it with you. Let's bring in James, who's in Drumchapel. James, bit of dust settled, but how would you sum up this Rangers team at the moment?
Shower of bottle bags. Fun or not, but I know it's been labelled umpteen times, you've probably heard it a lot, but for me, guys, I'm just... I know what's coming now for this Rangers team. They go a goal down, the heats are all down. Look, our captain, as far as I'm concerned, don't get me wrong, he's been a great servant and he's played for him. He's dug us out hole after hole. But see, for me, guys, I want my captain to show the same passion that I've got when I'm shelling out money week in and week out going to watch this mob. Now, I stand and I watch these people, and it's not just, I want leaders on the park. I want somebody like that. Kevin Thompson, a Barry Ferguson, a Richard Goff, somebody that's going to stand in that tunnel at Park Heath and say, right, Rangers, we're going to battle here today. But they don't. They're all standing about laughing and joking, wanting to shake coins. Then you've got Tavernier laughing and joking with Callum McGregor at the start of the game. You're getting into an Old Firm game. Show the passion and show the thing that every single Rangers fan wants you today. You wouldn't have seen a Terry Butcher or a Barry Ferguson standing doing that before an Old Firm game. I'm getting fed up with the same taste in my mouth after Old Firm games, guys. Rodgers has got his own toasting now, right? I know, and I'm not going to blame Clermont here because it's not a Clermont team. But for me, you're starting looking at these guys and thinking, you know what's coming for them. They don't have the bottle. They don't have the leadership. And for me, John Lundstrom should never kick another ball for Rangers Football Club because what he did there on Sunday, it might not change the score in any way, but for me, you've just got yourself back into the game, and then he goes and does something stupid as that. Now, for my captain, I'm looking for James Tavernier to be getting there and saying to him, what are you doing? What's going on? But I bet you any money, they went into that dressing room and gave it hard luck, John. Oh, you were so unlucky. No, I don't want to hear this. He made a mistake. No, he didn't. He just cost Rangers the title.
James has given me a few heart and mouth moments there, but I don't think he swore at any point. But no. It was bottle bags was the first word, and then he edited his James Tavernier impression.
I'd be surprised if there wasn't some choice words towards John Lundstrom.
Who from?
The manager for a start, just certainly the manager, and then I wouldn't be surprised if players chimed in as well. No doubt he'd have been apologetic about the scenario, but that doesn't matter straight after the game.
James, I do wonder about ability versus this stuff because, I mean, the Celtic have any ballers that you met, ballers and shouters. Callum McGregor, you mentioned, he's having a laugh with James Tavernier. Callum McGregor doesn't do what you're meaning, you know, this Richard Goff thing. Celtic just better. Like, is that not really what it comes down to?
But he drags his team through games.
Yeah, but in a different way, though.
Aye, maybe in a different way, but they've got other shouters on that part. They've got big Vickers at the back, who, for me, it's as much as I hate to say it, I think he's been one of their better players this season. We don't have... Guys, I'm looking for my centre-halves to go and be commanding. Right, if you John Souter, he's 6'3", 6'4", or whatever. I just don't know, guys. Even when you've got Goldson playing in the team, Goldson's actually a bomb scare for me, and he's been there two seasons too long now for me, and he seems to escape through criticism. It's always Tavernier that gets the criticism when things are going wrong, but Goldson's just as much to blame as anybody else in that team. But I'll come back to what I'm saying about the managers. Guys, I first started going to see Rangers under John Wallace, then it was Souness, and then it was Walter Smith. I'm telling you right now, I don't think Lundstrom would have come out of that dressing room without a marked face had that been any of the three managers. They would have went through the players for the lack of heart that they showed. And that's what I'm saying. People can be better than you. But see, for me, guys, I'm not the one who's getting football player, but I'll run all day and my hard work will shine through. And sometimes that's what you need. You need to work harder. You need to run faster than certain people. And we have no go at that.
James, it sounds like this team has pushed you to the end of your patience. You lost it all with them now.
Well, I was the guy that was on and I said I wasn't going back under Beale, if you remember, after we got beaten the Old Firm game. I wasn't going back after that. What I'm going to say is I'll give Clermont's time, but we need to get rid of the deadwood in that team now. It's long overdue. We need to get rid of the heartless
people, let's say, we need to get leaders back in that dressing room. Andy will tell you he's grown up as a Rangers fan. We had leaders in that part, a Barry Ferguson, that would moan and Gaffey's not at people because there's such high standards. Right now, my club, has they got these standards now? And it's fell away.
Quite a lot going on. You can hear the passion James has got for the situation. Understandable.
Listen, it's understandable. A huge amount of disappointment this week among Rangers fans. I think prior to that Motherwell game, where Andy and his teammates went to Ibrox and won, I think there was a belief among Rangers fans that they could, against all the odds, win this league title. But subsequent to that, you know, they lose to Motherwell, they lose to Ross County, they drop points at Dens, they drop points at home to Celtic, they lose at Celtic Park. So, you know, the accusations of bottle going, I don't know about that. They haven't shown sufficient quality on the field or the metal they require to win this league title.
Yeah, listen, I can understand when you've lost so many games against your closest rivals and you've been on the form that Rangers have that you will question the mentality, and I absolutely get it. But fundamentally, I do think it's ability more than anything that Rangers need. But where I will defend James is when I look at Dujon Sterling. And I praise him the way I have in recent games. It's just purely because that will to win your individual battle, no matter where you're playing. And it's the reason that he won the man of the match in the League Cup final against Aberdeen. He won man of the match against Real Betis. He was Rangers' best outfield player against Celtic at Ibrox, and he was Rangers' best outfield player against Celtic at Parkhead again. Doesn't matter where he plays. You can see he's given 100%. He's going to try the best of his ability no matter what position he's in, and he tries to win his individual duels. He's never been a right winger in his life, but when he played right wing, he did what he can. He competed, he got the assist for the first goal, and then he's Rangers' best player when he goes centre-half. So that's the reason you give him the praise that he's due. But ultimately, around the area and where Rangers need to improve on is quality more than anything.
He's another one that's out tomorrow, by the way, because they all seem to be. Just if you haven't seen it, added to what was it? So Goldson's already out, Balogun was out, John Souter's now out, Dujon Sterling is out, Tom Lawrence is out,
Lindstrom suspended
anyway,
Matondo, Seema,
yeah, they
Danilo.
Were already out, but so it's about 11. There's about 11 Cortez. First team players tomorrow. So I wonder what do you think tomorrow will be like, John? John's on the other line. What do Rangers do from here?
Hi, good evening, guys. What did they do from here? Well, just try and win the cup, because if you had asked us if we do beat Celtic and won the double, would we have took that at the start of the season? I'm sure many Rangers fans would have said totally. Now, the last time Rangers probably kicked the ball and done well was against Hearts at Ibrox. So was at the game, 1-5-0. Since then, we've done nothing. And as Andy Nat says, and I said that maybe 8 weeks ago, was on. If you go and get beat with teams like Ross County and drop points with Dundee and get beat with Motherwell and Kilmarnock and things like that, you're not going to win leagues. But for me, I think we are probably a two-year process to try and rebuild, because Celtic will spend, Brendan Rodgers is there for the next couple of seasons, but looks at it, and they will fling money. So we're well behind, in my opinion, but it's going to be a slow process, and I don't know if a lot of fans will be patient enough for that process to happen.
And is this not the most frustrating bit, Andy? If that is the case, fine. You're surrounded by people saying you don't get 2 years here, and second is nowhere. Oh, and by the way, Celtic might have two lots of Champions League money by then. So even if Rangers do rebuild, to what level? Where are Celtic? Is that how? I get what John's saying, but it's like this never-ending cycle.
Because you know you reference Celtic's Champions League money, but then you factor in the money they've already got in the bank, the money if they sell Matt O'Reilly. People seem to forget they've got a 30% sell on if Jeremy Frimpong goes to Man U, which has been reported as well. So the financial gulf is massive. That's why when I said it earlier on the show, I'll say it again. Rangers have to be perfect. If you're saying that they bring in 10, I think Roger mentioned 12 earlier on the show, 9 and 10 of these are successes. There's no 4, 5, 6 and then 3 maybe in a couple of years' time will come good. It's 9 or 10 this summer have to come in and improve the starting 11, improve the squad immediately and do well.
How do you embark on a project, Roger, that takes time in a city where you don't get time? At some point, something needs to give. So I get what John's coming from. I'm not shooting him down, but it just seems like very difficult.
Yeah, and listen, you do need to hit the ground running. Giovanni van Bronckhorst was sacked 6 months after he was in a European final. Michael Beale didn't get very long because things were really going awry. Philippe Clement made as good a start as any Rangers manager could have hoped to have made. He won a League Cup within 2 months of taking the job. But since then, he's lost twice to Celtic at Celtic Park. He's failed to beat them at Ibrox. And all of a sudden, things aren't looking particularly great for him. I think he probably needs to win the Scottish Cup final just to take Rangers into the summer in, you know, decent fettle. But I do think he'll need 12 players in the summer.
12.
Yeah, well, look at the guys going. Look at the guys who are going in low.
Because I'm disagreeing. It's like,
I know.
But then, as John says, they expect. Does that just turn into success straight away? Celtic maybe don't. Well, presumably won't stand still. What a summer we've got ahead. Thanks to John. Sorry it wasn't longer, John. I didn't realise how late we were. Very quickly, because I don't want to dwell too long. Which 10? Can you name 10 players who've played in the Scottish top flight and their brothers have over 70 international caps? It is a brilliant question. You've got Willie McStay and Matthias Pogba.
De Boer.
Which one?
So Ronald with Frank with over 70 caps.
Yes.
What about Rodney Schneider?
Yes,
he's Wesley's brother.
Do you know he's top? Because Wesley's, well, in terms of Wesley's got 134 caps.
Yeah. Derek Ferguson won with Barry Ferguson with the caps? No.
I'm not sure about the man with the beloved dog. Tommy Lovenkranz and Peter?
No.
No.
That's a brilliant question.
Well,
it's
you'll
tough.
Get more time and we'll take more calls next. Or maybe not. I don't know.
We'll just stay on for a bit.
I think maybe we will. Maybe remember that technical hitch we had? Maybe that was our break.
No, it was an arm.
And it just
break.
Went too early.
It's,
now a, we're
it's
just
a disaster
left
as well, because certainly need a minute or two for us to ease. That's a topper, isn't it?
To just suffer until the end of the show.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. They are struggling with this full time teaser, and it doesn't often happen. Can you name 10 players who've played in the Scottish top flight and their brothers have over 70 international caps? You've got Willie McStay, you've got Rodney Schneider, Ronald De Boer,
Anton Ferdinand.
Brilliant. Paul McNeil just sent that one in as well. Yep, Anton Ferdinand.
Who's there?
Because Rio has 81 caps.
None of Tory Andy Flo's brothers played, didn't they?
What I will share with the audience, which I told you to just before the end of the break, you're missing a very, very obvious Rangers one.
Give us an era. How far
The clue I'll give you on that one is what you're seeing with a lot of these, the Schneiders, Pogba's, etc., is that the brother was a much better player than the one that played here. Not the case with this obvious Rangers one.
Wow.
Both top level players.
De Boer.
On that level.
Oh,
you could
goodness.
Argue. Give or take, don't hold that against me if you disagree.
Oh, Brian Laudrup.
Terrible from you two. Terrible. Any more at the moment that I need to worry myself about?
Wow, can't believe that.
Is there a goalie? There's always a goalie.
No, there isn't actually.
No.
You might want to think about an African nation. And there's a Celtic link.
Ooh.
Didn't play for Celtic for long, but he was still there.
Antoine Fort?
No.
Quinton has
again. Really famous footballing brothers, these two.
Oh, Cole Touré.
Of course.
Okay, let's bring in Ian. Ian, you've been hanging on for about 6 hours. My apologies, it got very busy there. What are your thoughts tonight?
I was going to be talking to Cal Gallagher.
Nearly, very nearly. What have you got for us?
I don't think Rangers need a massive clear out at all. I mean, I think they definitely need new players, but people have been saying 12, 13, 11 players, and I think they need four, like, decent. I mean, we definitely need another right back. We need probably a couple of really solid defenders. And once the rest of our team's back, I mean, when you think we've got, what do you call him? The Colombian boy who's out injured.
Cortez.
Yeah, we've got, sorry, I couldn't get his name there. We've got Danilo. All right, Ruth's going to believe him, so we'll bring in another striker.
That sounds like more than four though all of a sudden.
What's that?
That sounds like more than four all of a sudden. You'd a right back, two centre backs, a new striker.
Left back.
Need a left back, that's for sure. Need wingers.
I mean, that's. I'm thinking, like, we've probably got enough wingers. I mean, when Cortez is back,
he's on loan.
Yeah, I know, but I think well, he's going to be on loan again and they're looking to buy him. I wouldn't jump in and buy somebody else if he's going to come back next season. There's no point in wasting money.
Yeah, but Seema, remember, Seema's on loan as well. So
Silva's on loan,
and I know Matondo's had these moments, but you're not looking at pinning your hopes on him for a season.
Or Ross McCausland.
Well, don't know, Ian. I don't know, because usually the funny thing is, like, fans always want more than the manager does. Usually, Philippe Clement says it is going to be a big rebuild. Said it today.
Oh, it's going to be. It's going to be, no question. Ian started rhyming off positions, and then I think he's forgetting about some of the other areas, because, you know, Barnabas away out of contact. You've only got Yilmaz there, who's been reported a transfer interest last year. They might be the same going into this summer, so they certainly need one left back. They need centre halves. They need wingers. They need a striker. It's going to be a massive rebuild. And listen, you don't even know yet who's 100% leaving. We know there's probably going to be five or six guaranteed, but you never know with the the reported speculation of bids for James Tavernier, Conor Goulson. So. It's going to be a big rebuild, that's for sure.
See, just on that, Roger, one that Philippe Clement said in the last few weeks, understandably, he'd expect a manager to conduct his business this way. He pretty much knows who he wants and who he doesn't next season.
Yeah.
But there was still scope for things to change. You know, if somebody pops up and scores a hat-trick against Celtic and blows the end of the season apart and wins the league for Rangers, then it follows that they might be able to, like, redeem themselves.
No.
Does this now, obviously, because of the way it went, there's now a clarity there. He'll be in no doubt at all, surely, what he needs.
No, I don't think there's any doubt at all. And I think, to his credit, I think he's trying to defend this group of players as best he can through some difficult results. I think he's trying to take this group of players with him. But I think now that the league's gone, he will know in his own mind that he can't take this group of players any further. This is the end of this Rangers team. There is going to be a new era. There'll be 10 or a dozen players coming in, and it will be up to Philippe Clement now to prove that his judgment and the judgment of the Rangers recruitment team is good enough that they can mount a concerted challenge to Celtic next season.
John Lundstrom be in your team next season, Ian?
No, and it's not because I'm not in a huff with Lundstrom about what happened at the weekend there, but I think ever since he started off really, really well, and I think since he's new, he's not going to be getting a new contract and he can't come to terms with it, his performances have definitely took a dip. So, maybe I didn't kind of explain myself so well there, but I think Rangers will keep Simmer, and I think they'll keep Cortez. I think on top of the players that are already there, I think we need four. Maybe five, but I mean, apart from that, I don't see that they need a major overhaul.
Seema might cost a good few million, that's the other thing.
Yeah, and if you have got a big rebuild with limited transfer funds, you don't want to be spending a big chunk of it on, I think it was £7 million, the reported figure, to keep Seema. So I'd be amazed if Rangers keep Seema going into next year, unless it's another extended loan with a future fee option to buy whatever it may be. But no, I think you have to spread what they've got over the case of 10, 12 signings, whatever it may be. So I don't think Seema will be one here next year. I think if Cortez, they can wangle another deal to keep him for another year. Obviously, his period at the club was cut short through injury. If he can extend that loan for another year, I think that would be a huge bonus. I thought he looked very, very well and very good in the period he was in the team. But
it's unfortunate that one, isn't it? Because it was so short. You're right. I'm not saying he didn't look good, but you then got so little to base it on.
Yeah, because we've seen it a few times, don't we? I think Diamandé was the one that sort of set the world alight for the sort of first four or five games, and then again, not being a £4.5 million player, shall we say, over the last sort of few games as well. But Oscar Cortez was certainly one that started well, but obviously, unfortunately, that injury for him cut his season short.
This is going to go on and on. We're at the end of the show, and I feel like we just sort of scratched the surface on a few topics. It's a good job. We're here all week, and then the week after that, and the week after that.
And a couple
that,
of late nights for you, Gordon, we're thinking of.
Yeah, we're going to stay on late tomorrow and Wednesday night. Maybe not quite the kind of blockbuster title race nights that
Thank
we expected.
Thank goodness
that
a Dazzler moved to the summer Monday night bath night.
So he did, that's right. So he's probably in the bath right now listening to you shouting out the answers to this full-time teaser. No doubt you've got a lot of work to do. 10 former Scottish top flight players whose brothers have over 70 international caps: Schneider, De Boer, Loudrop, Touré, Pogba, Ferdinand, McStay.
The neighbours will be worried if Daz is lying in the bath and shouts Aubameyang.
What's his first name? As long as he doesn't shout that. Willy Aubameyang is,
yep, Kilmarnock.
Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang's brother. Okay, what's that, two to get?
Two to get, I think. We might be into the clue territory. That's now, right, Gordon.
Yeah, I'm certainly clue territory now.
Kilmarnock is the club you want to stay at. You've given me Willy Aubameyang.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what a shout. Kieran at Super Cheese, follow this guy because he obviously knows his stuff because he's produced this answer. Brilliant. You're looking at kind of...
It's not Eremenko, is it?
Yes. Roman Eremenko has 73 caps.
He's the first person I thought of there, but no.
And one more to go, is it?
Yep.
Hearts.
Wow.
Would that be mid-2000s era, I think?
Yeah, Jankauskas, Lithuanian.
It's none of the Lithuanians, surprisingly.
Portuguese?
Nope.
No.
I'll just put you out your misery because we are running out of time.
Now. Position? No.
I think he was just a central midfielder, but now you're really testing my memory of him, but I'm sure he was. He was a good player.
Nationality?
I'm just going to put you out your misery. We're that far out of time. Larry Kingston. Brother, yeah. Richard.
Was the goalie?
There you are, 93 caps. Thank you, Roger and Andy. That was so busy. We need to do it again tomorrow. We're here from 6. Callum Gallagher has tickets to Clyde One Live up next.